Let's go to Central Ohio and welcome one of our longtime supporters, and that is Dorsey Hager on behalf of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, where he serves as Executive Secretary Treasurer, columbusconstruction.org. And the Twitter handle is so appropriate. It's BuildCentralOH, BuildCentralOH. And every time I talk to Dorsey, something new is happening. We talk about the Intel plant, and we'll get a progress report on that. But I heard Dorsey in the news. What is this? Not one, but two more facilities for Google in your area? What the heck is going on down there, Dorsey?
It just seems like Columbus and Central Ohio seems to be the place to be right now. It's definitely becoming, you know, I almost said tech center of Ohio, but actually tech center of the United States, and maybe even competing to be the tech center of the world. You know, we already have Amazon. We already have Facebook. Now Google is here. They've almost completely built out their new Albany campus. And now they're adding two new campuses, one in Lancaster, which is just southeast of Columbus, and one on the south side of Columbus. So there's 13 Google campuses around the world, and three of them are going to be here in Columbus and Central Ohio. And anybody who knows anything about tech, whether it's Intel, Facebook, Google, Amazon, you know, this is a rarity to have more than one in one region or one area. Because of the risk adverse, to weather, to very, you know, bad weather like hurricanes, monsoons, earthquakes, anything like that. But one of the big draws to Columbus, and I know we've joked about this on your show before, when I meet with folks that are looking to come to Columbus, is they love our weather. And I'm like, really? Like, you know, I've lived here most of my life and I'm not a fan of our weather. And they're like, no, you guys have great weather. Not real hot. It's not real cold. You don't have tornadoes. You don't have blizzards. You don't have monsoons. You don't have hurricanes. You don't have earthquakes. You know, so the folks just love our weather, the weather and the water, the two W's. That's what they love. And Google had a great announcement the other day at the Ohio Chamber. I got to see my good friend, former Congressman Steve Stivers, who was there and held the event. Of course, Governor DeWine and Lieutenant Governor Houston, Congressman Balderson, and Congressman Kerry were there as well, because each one of those is in each one of their districts. But it's a great announcement. A good morning. You know, talking about another $2 billion+ worth of work. So it's going to be a lot of work for, you know, insulators and sheet metal workers, electricians, laborers, iron workers, plumbers and pipe fitters. So keep gearing up, keep expanding pre-apprenticeship and apprenticeship. Keep giving opportunities to those who didn't know that they existed, and keep reaching out to middle schools and high schools. And it looks like we're going to ride this way for a while. And that's what we're looking forward to.
That's amazing. And you and I have had many conversations, because the Intel plant's going to take a whole lot of workers. And now you throw this on top of it. My gosh, it's amazing. Do we have any kind of timetable on these Google plants that we're talking about?
Yeah, so they're doing some, I would say, maybe pre-construction right now, a little bit of earthwork, a little bit of site, you know, stuff like that, and a little bit of vertical stuff coming up. But it's really going to hit, I would say, probably at the end of the year, where they'll really start going gangbusters. And I would say probably the next 18 to 36 months is going to be the height of both the projects. And, I mean, it's you know, we talk about this all the time. It's construction, so it's hard to tell. You know, you can't say there's going to be 112 people on Monday and 273 people on Tuesday and this and that, but I would expect the Lancaster campus and the Columbus campus to have, you know, probably between 12 to 1500 people at the height. So you're looking at 3000 people, you know, in the next few months out there working on those sites.
Yeah, this is shaping up to be the new Silicon Valley, Central Ohio, without a doubt. And I'm sure the Intel plant, the decision to locate there, had something to do with Google expanding their presence in Central Ohio. Speaking of Intel, where are we with that project right now, Dorsey?
So we meet monthly with Bechtel. We have great conversations. I saw Sam Lyon in D.C. last week, the legislative conference, and we got folks out there working on underground. They're building their two batch plants. Looks like the phase one, the two fabs, the two batch plants are going to produce 460,000 square yards of concrete, that are going to be poured and put into the two fabs, the first batch plant out there. So, you know, we got laborers out there. We got Teamsters. We got, you know, iron workers. We got electricians, pipe fitters working on underground. We got cement masons getting ready to pour and finish concrete. So we're hyping up out there. It looks like things are on schedule, and we're going to be gearing up out there. So I'm excited about it. I'm was out there a couple of days ago, and it seems like every 30 to 45 days when I go out there, the site, you know, takes a different shape and looks different. And obviously it's a massive site. It's over 800 acres, but it's really cool to go out there and check it out. And it's going good. So we're excited about it.
Well, all this has garnered the attention of the North American building trade. Sean McGarvey paid a visit to the area a couple of weeks ago. I'm sure he got pretty excited to see what's going on. And obviously, they had the legislative conference after his visit. Can you speak to that? How was that conference this time around?
So we were kind of joking about it yesterday at lunch. And in my last evening when I was in D.C., I spent the evening with some staffers from the Hill. One was the finance manager for the DNC for the state of Maryland. Another young man was a staffer for Congresswoman Sykes and a couple other folks. And some of those folks out there in D.C., you know, that just amazes me that the job and the effort and the work, and our people are the same way out there. You know, D.C. is kind of a different animal. It's an 18 to 20 hour workday, 5 to 6 days a week. You know, you get up, you have a meeting in the morning, go to the office, you put your 10, 11 hours in, you usually have an event right after work, and then, you know, you might have a late dinner with somebody. As a matter of fact, one of the staffers at an event that we had to wrap up the week, we had a congressional mixer at the Barrel, and Kelly Harrop and Mike Nisley from the State Building Trades did a great job putting that together, but one of the staffers was there, and it was like 8:30, 9 o'clock, and, you know, I was taking an Uber, and he's like, "You mind if I, you know, hitch the Uber with you?" And I said, "No." I said, "Did you live up towards the hotel?" And he's like, "No." He's like, "I'm having dinner with a congressperson tonight at 10 o'clock. And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, what a long day." But that's the norm there. But we had a great legislative conference. We heard from some great speakers. Chuck Schumer spoke. Obviously, the head of the NHLPA, the former Labor Secretary Marty Walsh spoke. We got to hang out with him at the hotel the day before he spoke. And he was great, you know, coming around, talking to us about issues that were going on. So that was awesome, but he gave a great speech. And then the highlight of the week, and, you know, be a little selfish here, but Building Futures and the Columbus Building Trades received the Mark Ayers Community Award for all the work that we're doing for our pre-apprenticeship program, Building Futures, here in Columbus and Central Ohio. And they played a nice little 3 to 4 minute video. You can see that on our YouTube channel. You can see that on our social media, Facebook and Twitter at Build Central OH, or on our website at columbusconstruction.org. But then we got pictures, got to get the award, and then, you know, afterwards we were backstage, we were leaving the stage, and Senator Raphael Warnock had just spoke, and he was kind of hanging out waiting, and we got to talk to him and discuss pre-apprenticeship, everything we're doing for people of color and women and vets in Central Ohio and Columbus, the work, and he was kind enough to take a picture with us, and it's just a great time. It was a good week. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of hard work. You know, we had the congressional breakfast at State Building Trades through, and we got to hear from Senator Sherrod Brown. Got to hear from Senator J.D. Vance, which was good. And a lot of it was, you know, based on infrastructure and workforce development, and which is right in our wheelhouse, especially here in Columbus and Central Ohio. And it's everything that we're trying to do and everything we're trying to keep the momentum going to continue to create opportunities for our members.
That's awesome. That's awesome that you're getting that recognition, because I know you put a whole lot of work into Building Futures. You know, while we're talking about this, can we get an update on those community benefit agreements? We did a show on this a couple of months ago when we conferenced with the NAACP, and can maybe a progress report right now, because I know there's a great future there in that program.
Oh, yeah. So President Nana Watson from the NAACP, she sits on the CBA board along with Jeff Hunley, who's one of our business agents from the Sheet Metal Workers. And they've really been working hard on this, and they've crafted a boilerplate agreement to be used by the city on different community benefit agreements. And it looks like this one is getting ready to be signed for the Fran Ryan Center, and this is a recreation center in the city of Columbus named after longtime city councilwoman Fran Ryan. It's about a $31 million job, which isn't a big job, but it's a nice job, and very similar to the Linden Rec Center that we did a couple of years ago under a CBA. But they're also talking about an aquatic center, which is about a $50 to $55 million job. And then, obviously, the municipal courthouse, which is about $275 million, which will consolidate a lot of offices and courthouses down in Columbus. And I know the mayor is very excited about that project. And, you know, it's a re-election year for him. So he's laser focused on that, but he's also running the day to day of the city. And he's very excited about what we can do with a $275 million job in terms of outreach, expansion of Building Futures and our pre-apprenticeship program, and getting more folks on that project, giving them the opportunity to see what they can do in the construction and the building trades to provide for themselves. So that's where we're at on those. We hope to have an announcement on Fran Ryan any day. And I would say in the next couple of months, once they pick a general contractor for the municipal courthouse, there'll be more on that too. But you look at that, I just said this in a meeting the other evening. So there's about $360 million that we're going to have under a community benefit agreement, which is a form of a PLA. And then, you know, you factor in Honda, $4.5 billion. You factor in Intel, $20 billion. So you're looking at about $26 billion here in Columbus and Central Ohio in the next, well, Honda, Intel's going on right now and will be going on for a while. But I would say from now and for the next 5 years. So, you know, it's about $26 billion covered under project labor agreements where we're going to need probably about 12,000 to 14,000 building trades people to do this work. So it's exciting times here in Columbus and Central Ohio, and you can't forget about all the ancillary stuff either. The wastewater treatment plants and OSU Medical Center, the OSU ice rink, the Children's Medical Center that's getting ready to come out of the ground, and all the other work that we're doing. And we haven't even talked about solar. We haven't even talked about infrastructure. We haven't even talked about the Intel suppliers. We haven't even talked about the Honda suppliers yet. So the work outlook here in Columbus Central Ohio is great, and we're excited about the opportunities.
Just amazing. Just amazing. Well, you've got a crazy situation with the political game going on down there with House Joint Resolution 1 and then its companion bill in the Senate. And Dorsey, I'd like to get your take. It seems, and I might be wrong on this, that the GOP supermajority might be getting the message here. I saw a story the other day that they delayed taking action on that legislation, which would require future state constitutional amendments to get 60% support from voters to pass. Now, this is something that's been the law in the state of Ohio since, 1912? And they want to change it, which would be tough on voters if they want to get an amendment on the ballot. So what's your point of view? You're in the middle of all this right now. What are you hearing?
So here's my point of view, and it's pretty cut and dry, and it's really simple. And I know when it comes to changing legislation, people want to throw a bunch of minutia in and look at a bunch of different angles, and this is basically it. The Republicans who have control of the House and the Senate, overwhelming control, supermajorities, are fearful of being a reduplication of Kansas. And if you remember last year, Kansas did a petition drive to codify women's reproductive health rights, and it passed in a very red conservative state.
Right.
So the Republicans here, even though a few months ago they said that, hey, August elections are no good, turnout is low, we're not going to have these anymore, have changed their mind because there's a group of folks that are circulating petitions to get on the ballot in November to codify, again, women's reproductive rights like they did in Kansas. So the legislature is trying to jump the gun, trying to get in front of them, and trying to make it that you would have to have 60% to make any constitutional amendments. So somebody looking from the outside might say, well, okay, this seems more like a social issue. Why is the AFL-CIO getting involved? Why is the Columbus Building Trades getting involved? Why have the IBW? Why have the UA? Why have the insulators? Why have the ironworkers signed on against this? A very fundamental reason, and this is what I've said in my 3 days of testimony. We obviously are big proponents of a democracy where everybody has equal voice and equal opportunity. The fundamental is this: one person, one vote. This would obviously go against it. And then our second fear, a couple other fears that kind of come into this, is this is going to affect bonding as well. So I said this in my testimony a couple of years ago. Mayor Ginther, seeing all this work coming, knew that there were things that we had to do for the city of Columbus for infrastructure, roads, bridges, improving city services, water treatment plants, which there's a new water treatment plant going up in northeast side of Columbus. It's going to help all the tech and data work out in New Albany. So we worked our butts off. We endorsed and we supported that bond issue, and it passed by 54%. If this were to go into effect, you would need 60% to pass any bonding issues. So that would not have happened, and that would obviously jeopardize a lot of work opportunities for our members here in Columbus and Central Ohio. And, you know, that's why we've came out opposed to this. That's why we're against it. And a little bit of a history lesson that I shared, and Mike Curtin shared this the other day as well, who, you know, is a dispatch editor for 34 years and also a former state rep, is that, you know, in 2001, we overturned Senate Bill 5 with 61% of the vote. We would have barely overturned that if this amendment would have passed. And we spent organized labor, just organized labor, spent $50 million on that to get that overturned. So it's like I've told some friends of mine in the state legislature, there's three things that we're laser focused on right now. It's marketing and outreach, it's workforce development, and it's also politics. Those are the three things that we lend our support from. So obviously we're not going to take away from our budget for marketing and outreach because we got to keep on doing what we're doing to bring these jobs to Columbus and Central Ohio. We're not going to take away from workforce development because we're constantly trying to increase our apprenticeship and our pre-apprenticeship ranks. So where that money is going to come from to fight this harmful legislation is going to come for politics. So, you know, hopefully this thing stays in committee and doesn't come out. Hopefully it doesn't come out on the House floor. And hopefully this doesn't become a part of what we're going to be doing here in the future.
I'm glad you share that perspective, because now you put a business tint on this. This could affect future development if it goes down that way. Now, I'm reading into this, as I mentioned at the beginning of this segment, that they delayed taking action. Do you think that they're getting the message that this probably isn't the right way to go right now?
I think several folks are getting the message. Here's the thing that I see it now, though. And again, I'm not down at the State House every day. That's not me, but this is an outsider saying this. The way that I'm looking at it now is I think there's a lot of folks that are right-to-life folks in the Republican caucus that are fearful of getting primaried if they vote against this by people or a slate from Americans for Prosperity that they'll put up, because they're the ones that are behind this. They're the ones that are bankrolling this with a billionaire from Illinois who's tried to do this in other states. So while I don't agree, I can see that. But a lot of those folks who said that they will vote for this are saying that they are going to vote against funding a special election because they do not believe in an August special election, because they don't like the idea of taking $20 to $25 million in taxpayer dollars just to have an election just on this, where the turnout again is going to be 5 or 6%.
And these are the same people that said no more August elections a couple
absolutely.
Of months ago.
Just a few months ago. You're absolutely right.
Yeah,
You're absolutely right.
Yeah, a lot of money. So what they might do here is kick the can down the road, do it in a future election. I know the issue is not just going to die off like that. If it does, I know the debt isn't the deadline next Wednesday. They have to get in if they want to get it on the August ballot. Isn't that right?
Yeah, that's my understanding. Secretary of State Frank LaRose said in order to be able to get it on the August election, they had to have something out of the legislature by May 10th. So next Wednesday is a drop dead day, and we'll see what happens. So we're constantly monitoring. We're closely monitoring it. And, you know, we have to do what we can down at the State House again to stop this, because, you know, then any attacks that come out of the legislature in the future, either right to work or prevailing wage, would be very, very difficult and costly to overturn. So we're going to try to do what we can to make sure we put a stop to this.
There you go. All right. Again, thank you for your perspective on this issue, because this is getting a whole lot of media attention, not just in Ohio, but around the country. Dorsey Hager, Executive Secretary Treasurer of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, columbusconstruction.org. Do follow them on Twitter at BuildCentralOH, and that's where that video is posted for the Mark Ayers Community Award, which was played at the NAMTU Legislative Conference just a couple of weeks ago. Dorsey, you take care. Keep up the fight, brother. We'll talk to you next month, all right?
All right. Thank you, Flash. Have a great weekend and have a great Friday.